The wildfire disaster could get even worse around Los Angeles. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
We're in really now the calm before the next windstorm.
Santa Ana winds will pick back up today into Wednesday and could spread. Three wildfires still raging, including the one that left Pacific Palisades at charred ruins. Fox's Jonathan Hunt is there.
That was the situation last Tuesday morning when the flames ripped through here in the Palisades, wreaking this kind of damage across such a huge swath of what was an idyllic part of Los Angeles.
At least 24 people have been killed. More than 12,000 buildings and houses have burned down, including Robert Lara's in Altadena. His mother and uncle's homes are also just ashes now, and he tells Fox his...
Lost mentally. This is so much to attempt to process. I mean, we had everything. It's all gone.
FEMA Administrator Deanna Criswell tells Fox the victims need a reply right away.
So we can ensure that they're getting everything that they're eligible for. And our programs are designed to help jumpstart that recovery. But for what we can't cover, we want to connect them with, like, the Small Business Administration that can help provide low-interest loans.
A week before he leaves office, President Biden will speak today touting his foreign policy. The day after he talked to Israel's prime minister amid reported progress in talks with Hamas to work out a ceasefire and hostage release in Gaza. The president also spoke yesterday to relatives of three Americans he's trying to free from Afghanistan, including Ryan Corbett, but his wife, Anna, tells Fox.
To hear after all this effort that there is a deal on the table, there is a way to bring Ryan home, and it's not being taken is incredibly crushing to our family.
Corbett says she had a much better conversation for an hour with incoming Trump National Security Advisor Michael Waltz. The deal would be a prisoner swap with the Taliban, releasing a terrorist suspect the U.S. imprisons at Guantanamo. America's listening to Fox News.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code SECONDFREE by January 26th. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on singlecare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to singlecare.com or download the free app today.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran Norris. Local performers lit up the stage at the K-Campa Dance Invitational this weekend. The Advocate Foundation hosted the dance at Yuma High School Snyder Auditorium on Saturday night. The local nonprofit hopes the dance brings awareness to childhood cancer in honor of the late K-Campa, who passed away at just 16 years old from a rare form of bone cancer. The annual Art in the Park took place over the weekend. It's where local and regional artists display and sell their artwork. The Yuma Arts Center hosted the event at Gateway Park starting Saturday at 10 a.m. Dozens of attendees were able to view the artist's work at various booths across the park. And you could soon be allowed to have chickens on your property as Yuma County Planning and Zoning recently put forward some changes. The county's director says that the current zoning ordinance does not allow chickens or small farm animals unless the property is 40,000 square feet or larger. If the amendment passes, all residential zoning districts will be allowed to have chickens. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Got a nice January forecast for Yuma and the surrounding area. Today, 63 and sunny, 41 tonight. Winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunny and 66 tomorrow, 42 tomorrow night. Winds at 15. And Wednesday, sunny and 69, 41 on Wednesday night.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years. Dune season is here, so ask about specialty tires for your toys. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations. Or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com. Choose the perfect tire and make your appointment today. We also have free pickup and drop-off for your hassle-free experience guaranteed. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact, and keep your contact list somewhere safe.
Build a kit with enough food and water for 3 days. And don't forget your pets. Keep 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to get the extra doses. Make copies of important documents and keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Note area hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alerts. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
El Dorado broadcasters in this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
O Aesthetics, LLC. American Legion Riders Post 19. C&L Cleaning Services, LLC. Uniforms SE. Yuma Gymnastics. And AE System Services, LLC.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Diana at yumachamber.org. That's Diana at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2566.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Dr. Brown is one of the smartest people that we know.
I've been going to, he's been my eye doctor for, it's been at least 22 years. And so you're one of the people that I trust emphatically. If you give me an opinion, I know it's going to be well thought out, and it's, you're going to recommend procedures on a very conservative basis. You don't like to rush out and try the newest procedure that's out there and use me as a guinea pig. So I had a procedure recently that we had talked about, and we had been talking about for, say, 5 years. I wanted to get LASIK, but I was approaching my 40s, and that's how it goes. It's like when you can't afford something and can enjoy it, then that's where you're at. You can't, you know, have the money to get it. And that's where I was with LASIK when I was in my 30s. And then when I finally got up where I could afford this procedure and not just wear eyeglasses, he said, well, your eyes are going to start to relax, or I don't know what the term is, where I was going to lose my nearsighted vision anyway, so it would be of limited effect for me. And so there was this different procedure called light adjusted lenses, LAL. And that was something that you had heard other people had success with, and so you said that might be something looking into, and you gave me a specific clinic to go to, and I had...
So let's start in your 30s. You're looking at getting rid of your glasses, and so LASIK is a very common option for many people. It's mainly for people who are nearsighted. So if they look at their prescription, it has a minus in front of their first number. It's for people who have low to moderate amounts of astigmatism, which means the second number on your prescription is less than 250. And it's for eyes that are not severely nearsighted. So people that are farsighted or a lot of astigmatism, they're ruled out. It's not safe for them or doesn't last long for them.
Because it's literally trimming or putting cuts in the eye in a way that makes the eye shape change, correct? Is that what it does?
So RK were radial cuts. It's radial keratotomy. So you've got your cornea is a circle. They make incisions that flatten it, weaken it, and changes the shape. LASIK does a slice across the top, peels back the top, hits it with a laser that ablates or erases some of your cornea and puts it back and reshapes it.
Okay.
So that would be LASIK, reshapes it. The RK weakens it. The LASIK does not.
Oh, okay.
But if your cornea is too thin, it can, and then it can perforate. So we've learned over time the thinness that should be avoided.
Okay.
So,
and LASIK wasn't a good option for me.
It would have got your distance great, and then you would have needed reading glasses within a year or two. So when your goal is to get rid of glasses altogether, which most people, that's their goal, you're defeating the purpose. You're fixing one and heading into the other.
Yeah. So this lens that that I got, this light adjustable lens, or LAL, it's been used in Europe and in other countries, I don't know, for several years. By the time I had mine done, they had done millions of implants. And my understanding is it's the same thing as a cataract surgery, where they're removing your original lens and they're putting in an artificial lens. The difference is this artificial lens, well, one difference is you don't have cataracts to actually trigger the need for the surgery. Right. And the other is you're getting a lens that's put in that has a prescription.
Yes.
And this specific procedure with the light adjustable lens is once your eye heals back up, then you can get real specific on how that prescription lens needs to be, and they can adjust the prescription after the fact with a UV light.
How many adjustments did you need?
Five. Did I need all five? I don't know, but I used all five because I wanted to get the best outcome. And so what they would do is they would give me an eye test, and they would tell me how close I was to 20/20, both nearsighted and farsighted. And then they would say, okay, we're going to do an adjustment here. Your eyes are going to be blurry because they have to dilate your eyes to do the adjustment. And it's going to take your brain a little bit of time to adjust, because one eye is going to be farsighted and the other eye is going to be nearsighted. And it's going to take your brain a little bit of time to adjust. Don't close one eye when you want to see far or near. Just allow your brain to kind of figure it out. And so they wanted at least 2 weeks in between adjustments, so I wasn't adjusting on something that was still my brain working out the difference. And so I went in after 2 weeks every time and had those adjustments, and very happy with them. I thought, you know, it was painless, the procedure itself. And I'm a big wimp. I don't get my blood drawn. I don't get any shots that I don't have to, because I'm afraid of the needle. Disregard all the conspiracy theories out there. I just don't like the needle. And so even with me, it was a painless procedure.
So quick question, which eye of yours is focused most for the distance?
My right eye. So they use my dominant eye. I'm right eye dominant, and they use that for the distance.
Did you already know you were right eye dominant?
Yeah.
And so you have a somewhat reading prescription oriented left eye?
I do. Which is weird, because I think that my brain is still struggling with trying to use my right eye when I look down at papers. And I probably unintentionally closed my right eye more than I should have to force my brain to switch over automatically to the left eye when I look down.
So light adjusted allows them to fine tune it for you. Does each lens have a near and far correction in it, and they just adjust it to favor one of those? Or is it only near and only far in each eye?
It's only near and only far.
So some lenses that they can implant have a built-in distance and near in the same eye.
I've seen those, and they have like little ridges or like...
When they're magnified. They can look like they have ridges.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't go with those, well, first of all, the doctors that I spoke with, it was Barnett Delaney was the clinic that I used, and the doctors that I spoke with says those were a prior version. They can work, but they do have a bit more of a halo effect at night.
Correct, and that would be a more of a halo effect for eyes who dilate past 5-6 millimeters. Younger people, lighter eyes, as yourself, are going to dilate more and have those symptoms more. Some of our patients who are in their 70s and 80s, eyes don't dilate as much. And if they're darker eyes, they may be a better candidate for that, just because their eyes aren't as susceptible to the night issues.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, though, sometimes the monovision, which is what we call distance and near in each eye, sometimes the monovision can give nighttime issues as well. You haven't had any?
If I am really tired and my eyes are droopy, then yes. But if I'm driving down the street and I open my eyes wide, and then no, I don't have that. Maybe if I really concentrated and I was being picky about it, I could point out some things, but not enough to really distract me or deter from, you know, just everyday life.
So it sounds like you're very happy with the freedom you have with no glasses.
Oh, yeah. I still, to this day, feel like I'm missing something when I walk out the door. I'm like, I know I'm missing something. What am I missing? Like, I don't have my glasses. I don't need my glasses. Okay, we can go.
But you still notice some limitations at different parts of your vision.
Yeah. So my right eye, great. Like, I'm seeing your face crystal clear. I'm seeing the walls. I'm seeing the lights, everything. I see distances, great. But when it gets to about 5 feet to me or closer, then that transition takes a bit. Now, if I'm sitting there reading for a while, it's not an issue. But if I'm looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down, then I still feel like my brain is slow on the uptake.
So what's really important here is you have found that most of it's better. Your experience is great, but you've made some concessions. And so,
yeah.
So one of the things, and that's fine. You haven't damaged your eyes. You have more freedom and you're happy with your investment. The doctors that do the type of surgeries and help you pick the lens they think is best for you have learned how to select patients profiles that will benefit and the type of lens. They were able to pick the lens that worked best for you. And in other settings, they would have picked a different lens for someone else. In fact, I've had a patient that I've sent, and after talking to the patient, examining their eyes, they discouraged them from getting the procedure.
Oh.
Because they felt that their expectations were greater than they could meet.
They wanted it all.
So, interesting observation. That's one way to put it. The other way is different people are tuned to their vision in different ways. Before I got LASIK in 99, I had been practicing for a couple of years. And I started observing the people who succeeded with LASIK and who didn't. I started observing people who succeeded with their vision and didn't. And what I noticed is we all have a different tolerance to blur. And some people can be two or three steps off of correct, and they don't even notice it. Their life is fine. They're managing everything. They don't notice. There's other people who are a half step off, and they can tell it right away. And it's got to be dialed in. People who are that, and they don't do that consciously. That's just the way their eyes and their brain are wired. And so when you have that attention to detail with your eyes, you can't ignore it how hard you try.
Okay.
And so they've learned to say, well, we're not going to get you there.
Yeah.
The best example of that is someone who's lived with zero glasses their entire life and are heading into reading glasses. If they give them lenses that are going to correct up close, it is going to hinder some of their distance in a small degree.
Uh-huh.
But they've spent a lifetime of perfect distance vision. They'll notice it. They'll notice it every day. So learning how to pick those, before I got LASIK, I realized I can deal with blur. I'm sitting here with you guys. I have a pretty good nearsighted prescription. You're a little blurry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Maybe you're even better looking when you're blurry.
Yeah, probably.
I'm kidding. But yeah, so finding those that will benefit, and they selected the right ones for you.
Yeah, and what's nice about it is as the technology advances, not that I'm looking forward to getting the procedure done again, but that if I was totally unhappy with it, they could take those out.
Yeah,
but that would be going back to stage one.
It's a very difficult surgery. Very.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was like you could just take it out and swap it out for the newer version.
I'd stay where you are.
Okay.
I'd stay right where you are.
That brings to mind reverse vasectomy.
Vasectomy?
Yeah. Hey. I'm just saying, he talks about how difficult the reversal of that is. I'm like, the first thing that comes to mind is a vasectomy.
Harder than that.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Look at that, Sean.
Why?
So, when they take out the lens that you have, they leave a thin shell, first of all, that holds the new lens. Second of all, that shell is held by tiny, fine hairs called zonules.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're putting in a lens, taking out a lens, you're breaking little zonules as you go, which holds the lens in place. when the lens unfolds, it has two haptics that spring out and hold it in place in that lens.
Yeah.
The capsule. So when they take that out, they have to remove that from the capsule without breaking zonules, without breaking the capsule.
Oh, and those are all like, they're like,
I mean, it's amazing appendages. What these guys do, and it's the reason I don't cut into people's eyes. Mm-hmm. And these guys are magicians, some of them. So, and I have patients who've had to have them removed and replaced for various reasons, but it's rare.
Oh.
And I would never recommend it or select it optionally.
I see. So if you think, try it out. If it doesn't work, then go back to what you had before. No.
I wouldn't recommend
it. Okay. Well, fortunately, I am happy with what I've got. I do want to get some readers that are bifocals where there's no prescription on top and a small prescription on the bottom, on the very bottom.
Right.
And so I'm going to come in, and I've got an appointment with your office. By the way, I want to do a shout out to your office here. It's Corona Optique.
It is.
And you've been working at Corona Optique how long? Tell me how you got into the business.
Yeah, I want to hear more about the business. I was coming into this. I looked at your website. You've got 9 doctors at Corona.
Dr. Corona retired.
He's wondered about that.
He's listed, and he's the namesake and the genius behind the whole thing. He's been retired a couple of years, and we've left him on the website, and we should probably discuss with him whether he wants to be left or not. But everybody knows Dr. Corona, and he set the wheels in motion for the opportunities that we all have. I grew up here, went to high school here, and when I left, I wanted to be a computer programmer. Oh. And they did not have that in college. So they put me in electrical and computer engineering, which was pretty much electrical engineering, which was pretty much not my style.
Really? Uh-huh. You didn't enjoy that?
I did. I was great at math. I probably would have loved mechanical engineering. I mean, my physics classes, the calculus classes.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Want to hear more life, death, and the law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often, and most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Well, you are.
It was enjoyable.
Odd. I always knew there was something off about you.
Yes, too calculating.
Uh-huh.
So, I didn't realize that there were classes to weed you out. And so the very first electrical engineering class weeded me out. I was like, this is not. So I moved into business. My father was an accountant here in town, so I started accounting. My bachelor's moved to that. Did not like accounting. And so I started looking further. Went to get contacts at in the mall at Tucson.
I was going to ask, so were you going to U of A at the time?
I was. Yeah. I'm going to the U of A, and the doctor who checked my eyes said, what are you studying? I said, accounting. He says, I can do my own taxes, but I can't check my own eyes. And it caught my attention because I was looking. I was thinking MBA, law school, something.
So he was an influencer.
Oh,
why did he take that role to be a mentor in that situation?
Very interesting, because the next thing he said was, you know, I don't have to do this. I've already retired. I have my retirement. I help my friend out. I like the job. I come in and I get a little money for golfing, and I'm not as bored at home.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, if you could go back to your profession after you're retired for fun, something to look at.
That might be the right job for you.
So went to the counselor, the health counselor at U of A, and I asked what they knew about optometry. She says, I think there's a box on the bottom shelf. So I pulled that out. There were 13 colleges in America at the time, and sent out for some catalogs. I took my resume around to 32 doctors in Tucson offering to work for free so I could find out if it was for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I got 2 callbacks saying good luck.
Really?
Really. So I was like, these guys are idiots. So I was married, and I came home from school a week or so later. My wife says, you got a call from a doctor. I said, they can pound sand.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, you should call him back. I didn't. So he calls back a few days later. I called him back, got a job, worked for free 20 hours a week for 3 months. He started paying me after 3 months, and found out I really like the job. I love it. And when my brother wanted to become an optometrist, I got him a job with the same optometrist. He doesn't like optometry. He's a teacher.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And so did my research and got some assistance through Arizona. They have a scholarship program when you don't have a college in state. They helped pay some of my tuition, went to the same college that Dr. Corona did in L.A., Southern California College of Optometry, and got out of school. We were looking at finding a practice, had to work in Arizona, which was always the plan because of that scholarship. We were planning on working on the east side of the state, where my wife and my father are from, between Benson and Tombstone, a little town called St. David.
Okay.
So had interviews in Tucson, Wilcox, Sierra Vista, and Dr. Corona sent me a letter. He was my parents' optometrist, and it was an offer, and it was better than anything that I had had, and made my wife pretty depressed. She didn't want to move to Yuma.
But you'd had experience in Yuma.
I grew up here.
And she grew up where?
She grew up there in St. David. It's an elevation over 3,000 feet. It has seasons. It doesn't have the hot heat. Our first summer visiting home, we drive in and get in at 11:30 at night. We get out and it's over 100 degrees. And she says, we're never living here.
Yeah. I said the same thing.
Yeah. It's pretty intense.
I grew up in that area. I don't know if you knew that. I grew up in Wilcox.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, so my main church building, what we call a stake center, is in St. David. So
yeah, they've torn that one down.
Yeah.
We got a new one put up.
Yeah, so I'd have to drive over every once in a while.
Is that about 45 minutes?
Not even. It's about 25 minutes through the pass. Yeah. Texas Canyon is what we call it. But yeah, that's really cool. Interesting. Did you have any kids at the time when you were going through this whole process?
Yeah, so we had one child while we were at U of A. We had another child while we were in optometry school. So by the time we got out, we had 2 kids.
Trying to figure things out.
Yeah, so my wife gave me some demands that I had to give to Dr. Corona when I came. And so we go through everything. It's amazing practice. It's where I wanted to be. And so we get done with the interview, and I said, this is the best offer I have. This is the best place to work.
Has it always been that building on 24th Street?
So do you know in the same parking lot, Dr. Gallimore's building?
Yeah.
That's where it was.
Oh,
that's where
I mean, you moved like 20 feet.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. So
was he the only doctor at the time in that practice?
So Dr. Corona started working in Yuma around 84, give or take, and he worked iMasters. He worked at Sears. He had a shop over next to Mervyn's, which is now Cal Ranch.
Yeah.
So he had a shop there. I think I actually saw him while I was a freshman in college for an eye exam. And so Southwest Eye Center, Dr. Bluth, was looking to bring surgeons to town, and he partnered with Dr. Corona, and that's when they began Corona Optique in 91.
Yeah, and so that was my next question, is what is your connection with Southwest Eye Center? Because they do the surgeries.
They do.
You walk in the same front door, and you either turn right to go to your office or left to go to Southwest Eye Center. So do you guys, are you just sharing the same building, or is it something more?
That's it.
Okay.
And that's all it's ever been.
It's very convenient, though.
It's extremely convenient, and especially coming out of school, it was part of a learning experience that I don't know how you get. So a residency, after you get out of school, you're then, even though you're a licensed doctor seeing patients on your own, you're very close to another doctor to guide you. So without doing a residency, to be in the same building with a couple other optometrists plus ophthalmologists, I had at my fingertips the ability to ask all the pros, and it was fantastic. So even now, we have that relationship with Southwest Eye Center. If we have concerns, if we have emergencies, we can walk over, talk to the doctors, and get emergencies seen instead of having to send you across town. And there's times
we're out of town.
We're out of town. And so, and sometimes even they can't meet those needs. So there's times where we're still sending you out of town, but it's great to have that resource.
When do you think they'll do the LAL?
Their doctors do multifocal implants.
Multifocal, but that's not the LAL. Because the way I understand it is only in the Phoenix and potentially the Tucson areas do they have the UV light that adjusts the lens.
So I would expect that Southwest Eye Centers in Phoenix probably have that capability.
Oh, so they're a chain.
Yes. So Southwest Eye Center was started by Dr. Bluth, and they have offices throughout the state.
Okay.
Yeah.
Corona Optique is just your facility.
Just us. Okay. Just in Yuma. And so started working with Dr. Corona in 97. There was another doctor, Dr. Lindley, that worked there. Interestingly enough, different doctors have worked with Dr. Corona before I got there. So it was Dr. Lindley and I when I started.
Very good.
What's been your favorite part as you look past over your career, that those were the highlights of your workday, your day-to-day, or even maybe if it was a one-off type thing of your career? What's been your favorite aspect of your career?
The most rewarding is when you have an unexpected big success.
Okay.
We had one of those just a week ago.
Really?
Yeah. So we had a gentleman come in his 40s, and he had had a palsy. So it's a kind of a stroke on one of the nerves that comes to the eye. And it had resulted in a droopy lid, a larger pupil. But the worst part was one of his eyes turned in, and he was seeing double.
Oh.
Really turned in. And it never turned in his life. So he comes in kind of wearing a patch or closing an eye because he sees two of everything. And as we evaluated it and found out just how big that turn was, we had a press-on prism. Now, prisms redirect what you're seeing. We pressed it on his glasses, and he was able to put them on and see single.
So did it help his eyes straighten out?
So we don't believe that helps. So it takes the image and redirects it to where your eye is sitting.
Oh, okay.
So his eye's still turned in, but it takes the image out there and puts it in front of where that eye is, and then this eye's looking at it.
I see.
Interesting.
So it allows the brain to merge the two images.
Because glasses can help your eyes straighten out, or at least putting a patch over one eye, maybe the stronger eye, to force the weak eye to become more active. I see in third world countries that there's a lot of people with a lazy eye because they maybe don't have access to the type of medical care, and here you don't see that very often. You don't see a lot of people with a lazy eye, and I think that's because early on they go to the ophthalmologist and they wear glasses with a patch on it and helps strengthen that eye. That's the most I know about that.
You're conflating a couple things.
Okay, all right.
But they're both called lazy eye, so that's why you would think of it.
Okay.
One is a lazy eye that turns.
Uh-huh.
So a lazy eye that turns can sometimes be corrected just with glasses. Sometimes it's that you don't have your full prescription in your glasses, and all we have to do is give you full prescription in your eyes line up.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's the muscle and it's turned, and we add the prism to your lenses, and it does. But when you talk about the patch, generally you're talking about, so when an eye does not line up or has a very different prescription in each eye, one eye doesn't develop 20/20. The brain shuts it down because it has two separate images that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And it shuts down that center vision.
So you become blind in that eye, essentially.
The center vision is much reduced. So you go from a 20/20 to a 20/40, 20/60. Now, your peripheral vision's still fine. You're not considered blind. But if you ever had to rely on that eye, you wouldn't see 20/20. So they patch the good eye to try and get the brain to activate those centers.
That was the thing that was most fascinating to me when I learned about that. Like you put a patch. It could be the simplest. I mean, it seems like the simplest fix possible to get your brain to fix the problem. That is amazing to me.
And guess how many kids wear the patch who should?
I don't know.
Zero.
less than 10% in my experience.
Really? Because their parents or what?
Oh, I think it's
the stigma. Embarrassing, right?
Kids tease them. Think about wearing a patch in school. Some of the success stories have been, we had a patient who needed them, and grandma made a bunch of different cool patches the kid loved with sewing and different things, and so they liked wearing the patch.
Well, the Gen Zers, I think that'd be different, because anything that sets you aside now is awesome, right? They'd have one of the patches with like a bloody eyeball hanging out of it, and they'd wear that all the time.
And maybe we need, as a profession, to get a little more creative on how we pitch it.
Yeah.
It's also difficult.
The Harry Potter character. What is that guy that's got that one weird eye?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Professor guy.
Yeah.
So we need to, we definitely more creative approaches to encourage kids to do that. And you're right. It's probably more acceptable nowadays and easier to do. But I still see 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds who can't see out of their lazy eye.
Interesting. Well,
going back to that prism, so that was an instant fix, it sounds like. Once you got it lined up where it needed to be, that must have been so satisfying for that guy.
And his eye recovered within a week. Just saw him a couple days ago, and he doesn't need it. He was able to peel it off his lenses and wear regular glasses. So the body tries to recover from these types of palsies and frequently does.
What causes a palsy?
There's a whole lot of
stress.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
The most common.
Are you worried about it?
Yeah.
You look worried. I could see it on your face.
I think I have a palsy now that you're talking about it.
I'm experiencing one right now.
So the seventh nerve.
Every time my wife talks to me, it's like, oh, here comes a palsy.
My eye starts twitching.
So a twitch is not a palsy, but is a sign of stress for sure.
Yeah, mine's twitching all the time.
Mine twitches after the stress.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they say when we're talking, a call back to the shingles discussion, that is oftentimes triggered by stress. And I actually experienced shingles when I was 28, which is ridiculously young to have that. But it was after optometry school. I had finally graduated, licensed, job, and 6 weeks after full relaxation got hit with shingles for a few weeks.
Wow.
So it can hit any part of your body. And so for me, it was on my back and my side. But some people get it on the face, and that's when it risks the eyes.
Okay.
You mentioned your interest in early on in computing and coding and things like that.
Sure.
What role, if any, does AI play right now and the advancements in technology that way? Have you seen that in your profession at all? Ours, I mean, as attorneys, we use it, you know, on a day-to-day basis. I don't see it as replacing what we do. There's still an element of humanity that needs to be there for some of the things, but the way that we look at it is, instead of starting way back here, we get to start, you know, 50%, 60% into it. I still have to do that 40%. Do you see that happening right now in your profession?
Sure.
How does that look?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
Every day, safe, prepared, informed. Every day, safety is our top priority. At APS, we consistently make updates to our electrical system to keep our crews and customers safe around electricity. Remember these tips. Put safety covers on wall outlets. Call 811 before you dig to have the location of underground wires marked. And stay at least 100 feet away from downed power lines. For more ways to stay safe around electricity, visit APS.com/brighter.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Dr. Brown is one of the smartest people that we know.
He's been my eye doctor for, it's been at least 22 years. And so you're one of the people that I trust emphatically. If you give me an opinion, I know it's going to be well thought out, and you're going to recommend procedures on a very conservative basis. You don't like to rush out and try the newest procedure that's out there and use me as a guinea pig. So I had a procedure recently that we had talked about, and we had been talking about for, say, 5 years. I wanted to get LASIK, but I was approaching my 40s, and that's how it goes. It's like when you can't afford something and can enjoy it, then that's where you're at. You can't, you know, have the money to get it. And that's where I was with LASIK when I was in my 30s. And then when I finally got up where I could afford this procedure and not just wear eyeglasses, he said, well, your eyes are going to start to relax, or I don't know what the term is, where I was going to lose my nearsighted vision anyway, so it would be of limited effect for me. And so there was this different procedure called light adjusted lenses, LAL. And that was something that you had heard other people had success with, and so you said that might be something looking into, and you gave me a specific clinic to go to, and I had.
So let's start in your 30s. You're looking at getting rid of your glasses. And so LASIK is a very common option for many people. It's mainly for people who are nearsighted. So if they look at their prescription, it has a minus in front of their first number. It's for people who have low to moderate amounts of astigmatism, which means the second number on your prescription is less than 250. And it's for eyes that are not severely nearsighted. So people that are farsighted or a lot of astigmatism, they're ruled out. It's not safe for them or doesn't last long for them.
Because it's literally trimming or putting cuts in the eye in a way that makes the eye shape change, correct? Is that what it does?
So RK were radial cuts. It's radial keratotomy. So you've got a, your cornea is a circle. They make incisions that flatten it, weaken it, mm-hmm. and changes the shape. LASIK does a slice across the top, peels back the top, hits it with a laser that ablates or erases some of your cornea and puts it back and reshapes it.
Okay.
So that would be LASIK, reshapes it. The RK weakens it. The LASIK does not.
Oh, okay.
But if your cornea is too thin, it can, and then it can perforate. So we've learned over time the thinness that should be avoided.
Okay.
So,
and LASIK wasn't a good option for me.
It would have got your distance great,
mm-hmm.
and then you would have needed reading glasses within a year or two. So okay. when your goal is to get rid of glasses altogether, which most people, that's their goal, you're defeating the purpose. You're fixing one and heading into the other.
Yeah. So this lens that that I got, this light adjustable lens, or LAL, it's been used in Europe and in other countries, I don't know, for several years. By the time I had mine done, they had done millions of implants. And my understanding is it's the same thing as a cataract surgery, where they're removing your original lens and they're yep. putting in an artificial lens. Yep. The difference is this artificial lens... Well, one difference is you don't have cataracts to actually trigger the need for the surgery.
Right.
And the other is you're getting a lens that's put in that has a prescription.
Yes.
And this specific procedure with the light adjustable lens is once your eye heals back up, then you can get real specific on how that prescription lens needs to be. And they can adjust the prescription after the fact with a UV light.
How many adjustments did you need?
Five. Did I need all five? I don't know, but I used all five because
sure.
I wanted to get the best outcome. And so what they would do is they would give me an eye test, and they would tell me how close I was to 20/20, both nearsighted and farsighted. And then they would say, okay, we're going to do an adjustment here. It's your eyes are going to be blurry because they have to dilate your eyes to do the adjustment. And it's going to take your brain a little bit of time to adjust because one eye is going to be farsighted and the other eye is going to be nearsighted. And it's going to take your brain a little bit of time to adjust. Don't close one eye when you want to see far or near. Just allow your brain to kind of figure it out. And so they wanted at least 2 weeks in between adjustments so I wasn't adjusting on something that was still my brain working out the difference. And so I went in after 2 weeks every time and had those adjustments, and very happy with them. I thought, you know, it was painless, the procedure itself. And I'm a big wimp. I don't get my blood drawn. I don't get any shots that I don't have to because I'm afraid of the needle. Disregard all the conspiracy theories out there. I just don't like the needle. And so even with me, it was a painless procedure.
So quick question. Which eye of yours is focused most for the distance?
My right eye. So they use my dominant eye. I'm right eye dominant, and they use that for the distance.
Did you already know you were right eye dominant?
Yeah.
And so you have a somewhat reading prescription-oriented left eye?
I do, which is weird because I think that my brain is still struggling with trying to use my right eye when I look down at papers. And I probably unintentionally closed my right eye more than I should have to force my brain to switch over automatically to the left eye when I look down.
So light adjusted allows them to fine-tune it for you. Does each lens have a near and far correction in it, and they just adjust it to favor one of those, or is it only near and only far in each eye?
It's only near and only far.
So some lenses that they can implant have a built-in distance and near in the same eye.
I've seen those, and they have like little ridges as or like
when they're magnified. They can okay. look like they have ridges.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't go with those, well, first of all, the doctors that I spoke with, it was Barnett Delaney was the clinic that I used, and the doctors that I spoke with says those were a prior version. They can work, but they do have a bit more of a halo effect at night.
Correct, and that would be a more of a halo effect for eyes who dilate past 5, 6 millimeters. Younger people, lighter eyes, as yourself, are going to dilate more and have those symptoms more. Some of our patients who are in their 70s and 80s, eyes don't dilate as much. And if they're darker eyes, they may be a better candidate for that just because it does, their eyes aren't as susceptible to the night issues.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, though, sometimes the monovision, which is what we call distance and near in each eye, sometimes the monovision can give nighttime issues as well. You haven't had any?
If I am really tired and my eyes are droopy, then yes. But if I'm driving down the street and I open my eyes wide, and then no, I don't have that. Maybe if I really concentrated and I was being picky about it, I could point out some things, but not enough to really distract me or deter from, you know, just everyday life.
So it sounds like you're very happy with the freedom you have with no glasses.
Oh, yeah. I still, to this day, feel like I'm missing something when I walk out the door. I'm like, I know I'm missing something. What am I missing? Like, I don't have my glasses. I don't need my glasses. Okay, we can go.
But you still notice some limitations at different parts of your vision.
Yeah. So my right eye, great. Like, I'm seeing your face crystal clear. I'm seeing the walls. I'm seeing the lights, everything. I see distances, great. But when it gets to about 5 feet to me or closer, then that transition takes a bit. Now, if I'm sitting there reading for a while, it's not an issue. But if I'm looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down, then I still feel like my brain is slow on the uptake.
So what's really important here is you have found that most of it's better. Your experience is great, but you've made some concessions. And so, so one of the thing, and that's fine. You haven't damaged your eyes. You have more freedom and you're happy with your investment. The doctors that do the type of surgeries and help you pick the lens they think is best for you have learned how to select patients' profiles that will benefit and the type of lens. They were able to pick the lens that worked best for you. And in other settings, they would have picked a different lens for someone else. In fact, I've had a patient that I've sent, and after talking to the patient, examining their eyes, they discouraged them from getting the procedure because they felt that their expectations were greater than they could meet.
They wanted it all.
So, interesting observation. That's one way to put it. The other way is different people are tuned to their vision in different ways. Before I got LASIK in 99, I had been practicing for a couple of years. And I started observing the people who succeeded with LASIK and who didn't. I started observing people who succeeded with their vision and didn't. And what I noticed is we all have a different tolerance to blur. And some people can be two or three steps off of correct, and they don't even notice it. Their life is fine. They're managing everything. They don't notice. There's other people who are a half step off, and they can tell it right away. And it's got to be dialed in. People who are that, and they don't do that consciously. That's just the way their eyes and their brain are wired. So when you have that attention to detail with your eyes, you can't ignore it how hard you try.
Okay.
So they've learned to say, well, we're not going to get you there.
Yeah.
The best example of that is someone who's lived with zero glasses their entire life and are heading into reading glasses. If they give them lenses that are going to correct up close, it is going to hinder some of their distance in a small degree.
Uh-huh.
But they've spent a lifetime of perfect distance vision. They'll notice it. They'll notice it every day. So learning how to pick those, before I got LASIK, I realized I can deal with blur. I'm sitting here with you guys. I have a pretty good nearsighted prescription. You're a little blurry. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Maybe you're even better looking when you're blurry.
Yeah, probably.
I'm kidding. But yeah, so finding those that will benefit, and they selected the right ones for you.
Yeah, and what's nice about it is as the technology advances, not that I'm looking forward to getting the procedure done again, but that if I was totally unhappy with it, they could take those out.
Yeah,
but that would be going back to stage one.
It's a very difficult surgery. Very.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was like you could just take it out and swap it out for the newer version.
I'd stay where you are.
Okay.
I'd stay right where you are.
That brings to mind reverse Vasectomy.
Vasectomy?
Yeah. Hey. I'm just saying, he talks about how difficult the reversal of that is. I'm like, the first thing that comes to mind is a vasectomy.
Harder than that.
Harder than that?
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Look at that, Sean.
Why?
So, when they take out the lens that you have, they leave a thin shell, first of all, that holds the new lens. Second of all, that shell is held by tiny, fine hairs called zonules.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're putting in a lens, taking out a lens, you're breaking little zonules as you go, which holds the lens in place. When the lens unfolds, it has two haptics that spring out and hold it in place in that lens.
Yeah.
The capsule. So when they take that out, they have to remove that from the capsule without breaking zonules, without breaking the capsule.
Oh, and those are all like,
I mean, it's amazing what these guys do, and it's the reason I don't cut into people's eyes. Mm-hmm. And these guys are magicians, some of them. So, and I have patients who've had to have them removed and replaced for various reasons, but it's rare.
Oh.
And I would never recommend it or select it optionally.
I see. So if you think, try it out. If it doesn't work, then go back to what you had before. No.
I wouldn't recommend.
Okay. Well, fortunately, I am happy with what I've got. I do want to get some readers that are bifocals where there's no prescription on top and a small prescription on the bottom, on the very bottom.
Right.
And so I'm going to come in, and I've got an appointment with your office. By the way, I want to do a shout-out to your office here. It's Corona Optique.
It is.
And you've been working at Corona Optique how long? Tell me how you got into the business.
Yeah, I want to hear more about the business. I was coming into this. So I looked at your website. You've got nine doctors at Corona.
Eight. Dr. Corona retired.
I wondered about that.
He's listed, and he's the namesake and the genius behind the whole thing. He's been retired a couple of years, and we've left him on the website, and we should probably discuss with him whether he wants to be left or not. But everybody knows Dr. Corona, and he set the wheels in motion for the opportunities that we all have. I grew up here, went to high school here, and when I left, I wanted to be a computer programmer. Oh. And they did not have that in college. So they put me in electrical and computer engineering. Which was pretty much electrical engineering, which was pretty much not my style.
Really? Uh-huh. You didn't enjoy that?
I did. I was great at math. I probably would have loved mechanical engineering. I mean, my physics classes, the calculus classes.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of El Dorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair, staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU.